For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. Since last we spoke, there's a world of change. I note that Europe is changing, as is the story in Ukraine, constantly. We have some fixed points in Europe. The German government is in a delivery of a new election, probably in February. There is some ceremony. There will be a no-confidence vote in the Bundestag. Olaf Scholz's government will then fall, formally, and the new election is set for February 23rd. The Christian Democrats and the Socialists, the SPD, are the two strong parties in Germany. And rather than explore the intricacies of the Bundestag, I go immediately to the news from Paris that the minority government headed by the Prime Minister Barnier has now fallen with a no-confidence vote. I believe that no new elections can be held until 12 months after the last election, which was July, meaning till next summer. So President Macron is now being looked upon for leadership, but suddenly he's very mortal. Ms. Meloni, the head of the right-of-center government in Rome, is said to be under pressure because of a dip in GDP from Italy. Sir Keir Starmer has problems of his own with the budget. So all of Europe is in turmoil. Yes, money, but also confidence. And I turn from Europe only to mention that Ukraine war is in the middle of all of this. European Union promising cash, I believe, for rebuilding, but the shooting's still going on, in addition to cruelty demonstrated by the Russian forces to use drones, reported in the Financial Times, to blow people's feet off as they're in their garden in Kherson. So there is no lack of cruelty, but at the same time, the governments that form the backbone of the EU are in turmoil. Anatole, because you're a European, I defer to you if I've missed anything or if there's another interpretation of these strange simultaneous events of disorder. Good evening to you.
Hello, John. No, I mean, it's all looking very, very messy. And clearly the European Union is now in serious internal trouble. I mean, to have had, you know, its two core governments, the Germans and the French, both fall within a month because of battles over the budget is pretty striking. And also in Romania, you've had a nationalist revolt sympathetic to Putin, you know, which in many ways echoes remarkably the views of Orban in Hungary, of the present government in Georgia, and of course of right-wing populist forces in Europe. This is all happening against the background of economic stagnation, because I mean, at the core of this are two things. One is that there just is not the money to support Ukraine, to pay for European rearmament, and to try and produce a new European, you know, industrial growth, and to pay for existing social welfare and health services. The other is that the European Union, with years now of economic stagnation behind it, is just not as attractive as it used to be. You know, this isn't the 1990s when it looked the only way of the future. So I think, you know, these are not one-off problems. This is a systemic crisis, which we will have to deal with for a very long time to come.
Is there a leader that we can point to? Mr. Macron was strong-handed, and yet now he must attend to domestic contest. Olaf Scholz is gone, was never a strong leader. Is there one person with an economy to back him or her up that can take, that at least can be a bully pulpit in these next years?
Well, I mean, it's almost certain that the next German government after the elections in February will be headed by the Christian Democrats under Friedrich Merz. And, I mean, he is an interesting character in many ways, and he certainly has strong convictions. But so far, at least, the CDU has been very unwilling both to relax Germany's strict fiscal rules on debt and to surrender more powers over finance to Brussels and the European Union. And if that continues, there will be serious battles between Germany and Brussels, even though, interestingly enough, of course, the European Commission is headed by another Christian, German Christian Democrat, Ursula von der Leyen. So it is possible that Merz and von der Leyen between them could, put together a new vision for Europe. But of course, once again, if that vision includes a great deal more government spending, we do not know where the money is going to come from.
Ukraine, your article at Unheard makes it very clear the challenges are the Donbass and Crimea, what is to be done, how that is to be finessed. At the same time, the question of the Russian advance is now poised, I believe, for a spring offensive. And there's a mix of opinions that I've had this last week as to whether Russia will settle for the four oblasts and Crimea, or whether this is a delaying tactic to launch across the river into Kherson and claim that whole province and perhaps drive on Odessa. Do you have a measure of why the buildup of boats on the Russian side of the river and why the bombardment of Kherson? They've emptied the town. Does that make sense if there's going to be a negotiation?
Well, to be honest, John, our problem is, you see, that we have a great deal of information now about the demoralization of the Ukrainian side, their exhaustion, their lack of troops. But we have no information about the state of feeling in the Russian army. The fact that the Russians appear, to have recruited several thousand North Korean troops would suggest that they too are suffering troop shortages. And although the Russian army has been advancing in the Donbass, it has been doing so very, very slowly. I mean, this really is First World War stuff. The capture of villages. I mean, it's a bit, well, it's not funny, it's tragicomic, but places that when years ago I was visiting the Donbass, one would drive through without noticing, have now acquired the kind of strategic significance of Passchendaele, or Beaumont-Hamel. But this is not yet anything resembling a great Russian advance. And getting across the Dnieper would be terribly difficult and terribly risky. The Ukrainians tried it and were eventually forced back with huge casualties last year. So, of course, one possibility is that the Russians are, that this is a feint, that the Russians are building up this threat in order to essentially distract Ukrainian manpower. It's difficult to say. The Russians, of course, have not yet even captured the whole of the four provinces, or four additional ones they claim to have annexed. Putin has set, as a condition for peace, that the Ukrainians should withdraw from the whole of those provinces. But I really don't think that that can be part of a peace settlement. My own sense is that the eventual ceasefire line will run wherever the battle line eventually runs.
NATO's a concern, and when we come back, what of NATO's membership? What of the negotiation over that membership for what is left of Ukraine? Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batten.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.